we'll have a fire inside before 11. At 10 o'clock, we will do a little offering to Prabhupada. We'll explain that later. And at 11, we'll have a yajna, a fire yajna. 11:30. And then from 11:30 to 12, we'll have bhajan or either kirtan. So, our particular topic is matsarya or enviousness. Or we can say conquering over enviousness for developing intensified devotional consciousness. Now, one of the things we constantly remind ourselves is that our existence in this material world is primarily due to what? Yes, enviousness of Krishna. Now, just like a wonderful little girl who just had finished dancing, quite awesome. She's only 6 years old. So many of the pastimes of Krishna is 7, 8 years old. When Krishna is dancing with the gopis, he's 8 years old. How many of you, may I ask a question? When you first dancing with gopis, even more so Krishna having girlfriends, how many felt uncomfortable when they heard that? The great vision. Okay. So you look like this, huh? How many of you felt at various times in your devotional life that Krishna having girlfriends, it just felt uncomfortable for you? Be honest. Raise hand. Raise hand. Come on. We're trying to deal with enviousness and how to love Krishna deeper. And since our major enviousness actually has to do with our enviousness of Krishna, whatever enviousness that we experience in our relationship with others is actually just a glimpse of what is really there that we have for Krishna. So as we talk about, you know, a new year, because literally in a few hours, it'll be 2004. And so a year we are getting older, a year we have hopefully more wisdom, and we've learned a lot about how to try to be, you know, a better devotee from our successes as well as from sometimes our disappointments. So many, many ways we play down or minimize just how serious and how much of a disease and a plague that enviousness is. Although we hear again and again, living entity has come into this material world due to enviousness of Krishna. And we've been discussing different ways about the enemies of the mind, and of course matsarya is not only a enemy, but from this particular monster enemy, matsarya, it lays the foundation for all of the other enemies of the mind. So our discussion today will center around this, of looking closer at what does this really mean, enviousness of Krishna, and how does it manifest in our relationships every single day, in our interactions with the material world, and even where we think we may not be possessors of enviousness, how much is relevant in our consciousness. So try to be honest as we, you know, ask you to reflect and try to be attentive, because just like, you know, we can have a particular problem in the foundation of a building, And once that foundation is addressed, then the whole building becomes sound. It becomes secure. And where the foundation is weak, so many other things you do within that facility is not only dangerous, but in time it will manifest in a very problematic way. Maharaj is going to help me with this course. He didn't realize that, but he just came walk in, and we are very happy to have his presence. We will be greedy to take advantage of it. Maharaj, if you just read first this first page here. This is just a reference and quote from Prabhupada speaking about this particular initial disease of enviousness of Krishna. Bhagavad Gita 7:27. Is Maharaj's microphone on?
Now it is. Material bondage, I guess this is from Bhagavad Gita 7:27. Material bondage is caused by putting oneself under the control of matter because of the false ego lording it over material nature. Bhagavad Gita states, Ichha Dvesha Samutena. Two kinds of propensities arise in the living entity. One propensity is Ichha, which means the desire to lord it over material nature or be as great as the Supreme Lord. Everyone desires to be the greatest personality in this material world. Dvesha means envy. When one becomes envious of Krishna or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one thinks, why should Krishna be all in all? I'm as good as Krishna. These two items, desire to be the Lord and envy of the Lord, are the beginning cause of material bondage. As long as a philosopher, salvationist, or voidist has some desire to be supreme, to be everything, or to deny the existence of God, the cause remains, and there is no question of his liberation.
Okay. So that's pretty strong. But this is where it all starts. This is part of the major reason we find ourselves in this material world, undergoing so many, many lifetimes in different bodies. How many of you feel from time to time that the challenges that Krishna gives us or gives you, that's too much? Raise your hand. All right. Okay. How many of you feel that Krishna is interfering with your Krishna consciousness? Raise your hand. We really got a lot of work to do today. All of these are expressions of parts of manifestations of our enviousness. If you feel somebody is fair and really, really care about you even more than you do yourself, do you feel that they give you too many challenges? Not really. You really feel that. You really accept that. Do you think that somebody loves you more than you love yourself? Is there a problem, an inconvenience in yourself with that person from time to time? Not really. If you feel that they perhaps do not care that much for you, as much as you do for them, or they're not really there for you, is a problem. Then whatever you do yourself with dedication, austerity, it seems overwhelming. Seems like too much. When we are void of enviousness of Krishna, less and less envious of Krishna, we begin to realize that Krishna constantly stirs things up in our lives to be able to give more of his love and receive more of our love. Just think how deep it is when we hear that Krishna has all of these palaces and dwarves, that Krishna is controlling all things, and we look at all the things that's going on and we say, hey Govinda, what's up? What's going on? If you're controlling all things, why are you allowing so many problems? Especially your own individual problems, you feel. After all, I'm trying to serve you. I'm trying to surrender to you. So, at least why don't you appreciate that and make it easier? We may not like to use these words. We may not even like to hear them. Hopefully none of us like to hear these words. But we just raised our hands, the majority of us raised our hands, that we have problems with, or head problems, with Krishna having lovers. But what is the problem of 6, 8-year-old? And we're not even talking about physical bodies. Does a 6, 8-year-old child have the kind of lust that an adult has, even in a mature body? No. Wonderful little girl dancing. Such a wonderful way to serve Krishna. Because of our time, we weren't able to have a dance in front of the deity, but it's a little desire to dance in front of the deity, which is very wonderful. Because dance really is for Krishna. All of the dance is out of sync, because real dance is real singing. Festivals, all kinds of things are actually all for Krishna. And what is it for Krishna to interact with his own parts and parcels? And what is it for Krishna to have loving relationships when we all ourselves wanting, are hungry for it, but then when we hear Krishna has it, we have a problem with it? Just think about that. That's envious. When we have envy, we see some of the things that come forth as anger, irrational activity, sometimes imprudence or harshness. Sometimes anger, we want to, when we have enviousness, we get angry and want to sabotage the person or the situation. And we have what's called invidious or negative. We talk about two kinds of envy. We have this invidious or negative focused enviousness. We actually want that person to lose what they have. We want the good, whatever that good may be. We feel that we should have it, and sometimes not only do we feel that it should be ours, but we feel that the other person should lose it. We're discussing how in the past that when there's enviousness, like it's like almost as if you are wanting that person to, you know, to disappear or to die or to have failure in some kind of way. But we'll talk about that in, you know, in a minute. But Maharaj is going to read a prayer in Bhagavatam by Prahlad, by Bhakti Prahlad, where he is praying for all envious persons. So he's praying for us and all the conditioned souls. The fact that, you know, we feel Krishna is giving us too much trouble, too much challenges. The fact that we have disturbance about Krishna being a lover, and although we want all loving kind of relationships in the most amazing ways ourselves, the fact that we want to even relate Krishna's expressions of love, interactions of love with that of being in a mature body, all of these are like part of the deeds that we want to try to look at as we enter into this new year, of how to deal with this foundation, this foundational problem that has so much ability to engender all of the other kinds of problems. It manifests in our relationships like anything, and keeps us lifetime after lifetime outside of the spiritual world. Because we can't have mundane enviousness and reside in the spiritual world. We can't have a mentality that says, hey, Krishna, stop. Krishna, you're not fair. Krishna, you are bringing too many adventures and complexity. That's not good. Krishna, I don't trust you. Krishna, I don't know why you have to be the all in all. Why not me? And we'll see the greatest level of enviousness is that we find in demons. That the more that we are envious of Krishna, the more we have fallen, and the more we are entering into the field of demonic. But the major quality of a demon, the asuryas, asurya bhava mastitaha, is that the asuryas are so envious because they want what Krishna has and they feel somehow that they should be controlling life, have enjoyment, have all the pleasures, all the activities, although they are also an integral part of Krishna. You know the story of the hand trying to enjoy the food without being able to be connected properly in service with the body. So if we have a plate of prasadam, we can't enjoy this with our hand. The hand has to be taken, of course, either this way or this way, put into the mouth, and then it goes through digestion. The whole body is working together. So just as we know how ridiculous it is for the hand to get envious or to be angry or to get disturbed or to decide not to function or to complain about other parts of the body, well, it's connected. It is the body. And so Krishna gives us a field of activity where we can express this kind of craziness due to the envy. So whenever we find ourselves being envious of others around us, it should really remind us that, this is why we're here. This is Prahlad praying for all the conditioned souls.
This is the 18th chapter of this morning. Yes. Do you know what the circumstances are in the Pasyastu Vishaya Kala Prasidatam Bhayantu Bhutani Shivam Mitodhya Manascha Bhadram Bhajata Dalhokshaje Avye Shyatam No Matirapa Hoitiki. May there be all good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga. For by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendent, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of Him. Purport. The following verse describes the Vaishnava. Vanchakalpa kribhascha kripa sindhubhya evascha vatitanam bhavayabhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Just like a desire tree, a Vaishnava can fulfill all the desires of anyone who takes shelter of his lotus feet. Prahlad Maharaj is a typical Vaishnava. He prays not for himself, but for all living entities, the gentle, the envious, and the mischievous. He always thought of the welfare of mischievous persons like his father, Hiranyakashipu. Prahlad Maharaj did not ask for anything for himself. Rather, he prayed for the Lord to excuse his demoniac father. This is the attitude of a Vaishnava who always thinks of the welfare of the entire universe. Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Dharma are meant for persons who are completely free of envy. Parama Nirmatsarana.
Read that once more. Srimad Bhagavatam is?
Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Dharma are meant for persons who are completely free of envy. Paramam Nirmatsaranam. That's in the first verse of Bhagavatam. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays in this verse, Kalo prasidatam. May all the envious persons be pacified. The material world is full of envious persons, but if one frees himself of envy, he becomes liberal in his social dealings and can think of others' welfare. Anyone who takes up Krishna consciousness and engages himself completely in the service of the Lord cleanses his mind of all envy. Manas cha bhadram bhajata dadhokshaje. Therefore, we should pray for Lord Nrisimhadev to sit in our hearts. We should pray, Bahir Nishingo Hidaye Nishingo. Let Lord Nrisimhadev sit in the core of my heart, killing all bad propensities. Let my mind become clean, so that I may peacefully worship the Lord and bring peace to the entire world. Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur has given us a very fine point in this regard. Whenever one offers a prayer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one always requests some benediction from him. Even pure nishkama devotees pray for some benediction, as instructed by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshastaka. Ayi nanda tanuja kinkaram patitam mam bhishrame bhaham budau kripaya tava para pankaja stita dhuli sadrusham chintaya. O son of Maharaj Nanda Krishna, I am your eternal servitor, yet somehow or other I have fallen in this ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. In another prayer, Lord Chaitanya says, Mama janmani janman ishvare bhavatan bhaktir ahoitikitai. Life after life, kindly let me have unalloyed love and devotion at your lordship's lotus feet. When Prahlad Maharaj chants Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya, he prays for a benediction from the Lord, but because he is also an exalted Vaishnava, he wants nothing for his personal sense gratification. The first desire expressed in his prayer is Svasti Astu Vinashaya. Let there be good fortune throughout the entire universe.
Okay, let's stop it there. So we see how here Prahlad is making prayers for envious people. Letting us know how Bhagavatam, which means to really understand Bhagavatam, as well as any of our scriptures, fully, that there has to be an eradication of enviousness. We have up to 50,000 thoughts a day. It's awesome. And so many of those thoughts have to do with enviousness. In America, the average person is exposed to 3,000 ads of advertisements a day. You hear what I said? 3,000. And what is advertisement? Advertisement is basically designed to establish greed and envy. And whether we are conscious of it or not, we practically can't avoid it. Because it's in this book, it's in the newspapers, it's in the bulletin boards, it's on radio, it's on television. Don't think it's an accident that producers, manufacturers, etc., pay millions of dollars sometimes, especially for like the major, most powerful time of advertisement, like during the Super Bowl. And so for just like a half a minute. It's almost like a half $1 million that one will pay. It'll be the maximum number of people watching something. But see, every day we are being programmed to be envious. We see from selling of pencils and ballpoint pens to houses and cars. It's arranged to try to create enviousness where you see somebody attractive, somebody's thin, somebody's tall, somebody's wealthy. And the idea is that you should have this. You should have greed and be excited to do whatever or get up whatever is being offered so that we can somehow experience something that somebody else is experiencing. You realize how much we're exploited and how much we exploit others, just how much we accept this and project this on our environment. You realize how many people are mentally challenged. You know, Americans now are the fattiest people in the whole world. But you know how many people, Americans, are in so much disturbance Because what is constantly projected is someone who's extremely thin, extremely rather young, attractive, and that image is constantly put in people's minds. You have to look like this, be envious of this person. Realize how many people are just so envious of the rich and the super rich, and how much they're played up to create more enviousness so people will want to act like them, be materialistic, do the things that will allow you to experience what those persons experience. We realize how much our own life is based on certain images that have been projected to us for us to be envious about. How little do we intricately allow ourselves to appreciate what we're trying to be as students, as children, as fathers, as mothers, and even as devotees. If we have good images, of course, that about higher spirituality, that's wonderful. But we carry so much into our consciousness that has to deal with images that are unhealthy, that beat us and drive us and affect our consciousness every single day. We think about most of the things that we're upset about in our life. It has to do with comparing ourselves to something or someone, in many cases to some idea or some role model, that it doesn't make a huge difference or shouldn't make a huge difference in our own life. But we accepted certain kinds of role models that now we're trying to live by. And in many cases, it interferes with our level of devotion and being able to honor and accept our own culture in a vibrant way and be able to accept the culture of the spiritual world. It's like the little girl dancing. Now, we have so much image of dance as gyrating, dance as sensual. We have so much image of dance that even sometimes we see dance and our minds immediately go into an unhealthy mindset. And if we be honest, how many people, even this little girl, 6 years old, that the mind almost forgot she was 6 years old? I won't ask you to raise your hand, especially the men. Because it'll be embarrassing. That how many little girls, 6 years old, and because the mind has been so programmed that dance is such an expression and body movement is an expression that's connected with sensuality, rather than to the service of Krishna. We are so wired up in so many ways that this drags us and keeps us away from the spiritual world. Jagannath, want to bring you the flip chart on the front? I want you all to think. This is going to be a little embarrassing course. Not really. This is a revealing course for us to look at ourselves. And what better time to look at ourselves other than the new year? I want you to think about somebody in your mind for a minute who you're envious of. All right? I want you to think. Let me explain that again. I want you to think of someone in your mind who you find that you have a problem of enviousness with. If you have no one that comes into your mind, then something's wrong, because why are you in the spirit in the material world? Material world means a place where there is enviousness of Krishna and is manifested in different ways. So somehow there's no one who you're envious of, then you're either in complete denial or you're a Nitya Siddha amongst us who's come to get us out of here, and please do it faster. Because look, we need help. But what we want you to see is, one is that we are aware in some cases, but in many cases, we're really not sensitive to how much our enviousness affects our day-to-day relationship. So you just file that person away in your mind for a little while, okay? All right? Somebody, is there anyone who can think of anybody who they envious of? Raise your hand. I need your help. Okay? You're not envious of anyone. Right? Is there anybody who can say they're not envious of anybody? There's no one who you're envious of. Okay. I'll mark that also. I'll keep aware of that. Is there anybody who can say they're not envious of anybody? There's no one who you're envious of. Okay. I'll mark that also. I'll keep aware of that. Because I'm going to call on you later to help us help some. Nobody you're envious of. Everybody you have great appreciation, respect for. Even Krishna. And I assume in your cases you had no problem when you heard about Krishna having a girlfriend. No problem for you, right? Okay. Shock is a problem. There are many phases of shock. Okay. So keep in mind that we are much more than we realize, constantly comparing to others or to someone or to some situation. And a lot of our distress has to do with comparing, and sometimes in cases where it's really not necessary. That people have a different karma, they have their own ability to serve Krishna or to run away from Krishna. Krishna is evaluating each of us individually, and that he is causing even our own problems the way we are stirring up things for us to come back to him faster. We want to just put a little list of let's put a list of what happens to us. Let me do it in another way. When you're serving with somebody who you're envious of, what are some of the things that can happen in that relationship? You're serving with someone, and you're envious of that person. Let's get some quick answers. Yes. Okay. Put one. Sabotage. You're serving with someone, and you're envious of them.
You may do something in a stingy way rather than giving the whole thing you're giving.
Okay. Stingy. Bob Fry. Come on, secure yourself. Yes. A healthy competition. Minimize other success. Yes. Frustration. Okay. Yes. Think of why you are really better anyway. Are you better than the other person? You justify. Okay. Again, remember now, the person you're envious that you had perception of, that you're envious of, you keep the person in your mind. And now you kind of alter these kind of things here. So some of this is going on in the relationship. Okay? Look at some other things. Anything else? Yes. Okay? Petty institution. Yes, in the back. Never develop a genuine close relationship. Anyone else? You can get space on only one more. Yes. Okay, hostility. Okay, you see this list, huh? So when you're envious, or when we're envious of someone, we sabotage what's going on, which means we interfere with their service or the collective service. We're stingy, which means that, again, we're not going to bring to that environment of what can be done to be able to serve Guru and Krishna better. We fault find. That means we go looking to find something that yes, people have different discrepancies, but when we're envious, we have a tendency of really looking to find something that's negative, to amplify it, and to use it to justify how we feel. We're envious, we are insecure, and we know when we're insecure in association with Vaishnava, it makes it difficult for us to develop stronger faith. It makes it difficult for us to be able to offer our best because we feel that it won't be accepted or won't be appreciated. We have unhealthy competition. The example Prabhupada gave of like two sons who are massaging the father, and they're, you know, fighting the father, they're punching the father. We minimize others' success. That means when you're envious, you also are hampering someone else's ability to be a higher achiever in their service, because we all need to feel valued. And when you're envious of someone, even when they're successful, you don't sufficiently congratulate them, recognize it, or support them. When you're envious, you are frustrated. And if the person knows that you're envious, they will be frustrated sometimes in having to associate with you. When you're envious, you find ways to justify why it's okay, why you're really better than the other person, and why they should lose what they have, why you should have it, etc. When you're envious, you justify, you have petty disagreements. Even when there is something that's genuine, that it gets really amplified, gets out of proportion, just like you're carrying a chip on your shoulder. When you're envious, you cannot develop the open, closed, Vaishnava relationship. Now, when somebody's envious of you, what is some of their mindset? Same thing, isn't it? Same thing. When you're envious of someone, it's very likely that this, all of this stuff jumps out in the relationship. Now, we're not just talking about you and that person, because when you're envious or they're envious of you, then both parties are dropping this in the institution, in the community, in the project, in the environment. And sometimes in the food, sometimes on the altar. You're serving together, and you're two pujaris, and you're envious of each other, or one is envious of the other, and therefore they are sometimes sabotaging the dressing of the deities, stingy about what's being offered and made available. They are fault-finding. Huh? They're saying, hey, why are you dressing Krishna so nicely? Even when you do very well, they are disturbed. They're thinking, oh, why are you? The boys are saying, oh, the deities look so nice. And your mind is thinking, why you dress Krishna so nicely today? When you're enviousness, unhealthy competition, so you may cause some of Krishna's service not to even be rendered because of sabotaging and unhealthy competition. Minimizing others' success, frustration, the enviousness that you have or the other person has may frustrate you that you even, you know, give up the service. If it's strong enough, you may even bloop. You justify all kind of ways why you are better. Petty disagreements, which means apparat. You don't develop close relationships. So if you put all of that together, all of those things are against the mood of a Vaishnava. Every one of those points, one of those persons you had in your mind, we're actually asking you to file, is the way you're relating to that person is against Vaishnava Dharma, which means less qualification for going back to the spiritual world, because that's a symptom of our disease that we have toward Krishna. And if we went back to the spiritual world in that consciousness, we would then dump that into the atmosphere of the spiritual world. That cannot happen. It cannot exist. But can you imagine if the gopas are dancing, you know, or going out, let's say they're going out into the field with Krishna, and there's one gopa there saying, hey, Govinda, why are you going out today? Why everyone has to be following you? Why you have to be the leader all the time? Can you imagine what that would put into the environment? Can you imagine the gopis are dancing with Krishna, and he's dancing with every one of them, and they're all putting up there with him in four. There's one gopi who's out of the circle, and she's saying, ah, just look. Why don't they all trip? They can't dance like I can dance. Even if they get that thought, the other gopis would smack their face. Not really. He would have to leave the spiritual world. And that is not hypothetical. Because at some point, we stood outside and said, hey, why Krishna must be the one enjoying everything? I want to enjoy, boom, to the material world. You want to experience being separate from what we share? He says, here's an opportunity to be master now of the illusion. And then once we're here, then we do all kinds of things that's associated with enviousness of the Lord. This is such a serious issue. Now, when we look at the offenses of a Vaishnava, maybe let's just turn it over. So all of these negative things, totally against Vaishnava association, totally against the culture of bhakti, totally against the atmosphere of the spiritual world, totally against Vaikuntha, Barakuntha, bring misery, bring pain, bring complication, bring what? Enviousness has so much to do with wars. It has so much to do with the dismantling of relationships on every level, whether it's friends and whether it's conjugal. It just permeates on and on and on. You look at most of the wars, indirectly they're all connected, you know, with enviousness. Someone trying to get, or someone trying to take, someone trying to maintain in some way, based on, you know, certain kind of sovereignty. Now, maybe some of you recall, what are the offenses of the Vaishnava? The Skanda Purana had mentioned different Vaishnava offenses, apavad. Like we have Seva apavad, sympathy service, we have Dhamma apavad, we have Nama apavad, you know, Guru apavad. So there's, you know, different categories in each of these apavad. So there are certain particular things associated with the Vaishnava apavad. What are Vaishnava apavad? To, we could say to, well, Betty, that's very general. That's like the most specific. Where is it? Hold a grudge. Yes. Because Betty consists of all of these things.
To consider a vice now to be a member of some particular caste or ethnic.
Okay. Quick number two. Consider a vice now to be of a specific caste or background, making that, you know, the four essence of your meditation and person. Others? Mm-hmm. Not to be happy being a Vaishnava. You may not appreciate a person's actions in some ways, something that's coming off them, but if, we'll come back to that destination later. Let's get a list to get us to first. What? That's in general. There's like, specific things about Vaishnava Bhava. My wife kind of gave that one already about thinking the Vaishnava is his caste or his body defect.
Yeah, I just thought of one of them. To hold a past fault or fall down against the Vaishnava.
See, that's a general one. It's not specific, but that is a general category. Okay, about an attack. Or it's got the Purana even stronger. It says to murder. Okay, let's put that.
It's a pretty big offense.
It's a big offense. Okay. One or two more I can think of. One more. That's very classic. Yes. 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 We bless you. Now look at this list we have here. I mean, there are many things that are connected with these different categories, but these are some of the very pronounced categories. To hold a grudge, okay? Certain, to the Vaishnava, a particular caste, related to the person that way. Not to be happy in seeing one. Physically, harm, murder, blaspheme. Well, we're going to come back to this in a second. Just turn the page over. Now, some of you had a little trouble We ask you to think of someone who you're envious of. In some cases, we may ask ourselves, how do we know when we're envious of somebody? How do we know when we're envious of someone? Can somebody help me out here?
Probably just noticing some of the symptoms of envy.
There you go. Let's turn over the other page. This is how we know that there's enviousness and there's some offensive mindset. No, the one after that. There are different levels of enviousness. We're talking about only invidious enviousness now, only negative enviousness. There is kind of a positive and there's a transcendental enviousness, but we'll come to that later. We're talking only about the negative side. One of the ways that you know, if there's some Vaishnava who you're holding a grudge with, this is Vaishnava Aparad. This is a manifestation of enviousness in some way. The lack of appreciation of Krishna, lack of appreciation. Do we appreciate Krishna sufficiently? Do we appreciate that Vaishnava is somehow representing Krishna, even if he's a Mayavadi, even if he has had some trouble in the past? We don't honor the deviation. But when someone is trying to be a God-man or a God-woman, we are to honor that person in mind. We don't even have to associate, but we honor them, at least in the mind, that they are trying to clean themselves up. Somebody's dirty, but they're really aware they're dirty and they're trying to do something. Then they may not be so expert at it. They may go back and forth. But still, we're to have some basic appreciation that that person is trying to commit themselves to the cleansing process. So you go over your own mind now. How many devotees do you hold a grudge? Or is there any vice? Chinese, Japanese? Even if we get too over into gender excessively, it's also. How much, if our basic meditation on that person is a Vaishnava or not? Is that this is not a Vaishya, or a person is not a Brahmin, person is not Sudra? This is category, because a Vaishnava is supposedly above. And Bodhisattva made huge arguments and was highly chastised by this. Even his life was at risk. But how he explained and concluded how Vaishnava is even above that of a Brahmana. So, yes, devotees have different qualities and different modes. But if our major categorization and classification of someone based on their body, rather than their using the body, then this is a thing. Vaishnava is a thing. And it's connected with enviousness of Krishna and enviousness of the divinity. Because when you do not have sufficient affection for someone, then there is a lust and a greed, enviousness, which takes away from the affection and appreciation and service. I come back to number three. Physical harm, hopefully we never will be about that, some physical assault, or to blaspheme the devotee, dedicate his life to propagating the holy name of the Lord. Now, number three is where we really draw attention to. We can look closer to see that how subtle sometimes enviousness and Vaishnava Aparad can actually be. You take the converse of that and you realize how wonderful and dynamic and animated spiritual association, when it's really authentic, is, how amazing the spiritual world is, because none of that stuff exists, and how exciting it is when devotees are seeing each other and associating with each other, because they are so much carrying Krishna and so much being able to remind each other about Krishna and so much experiencing Krishna in the association. And therefore there is happiness. Somebody is going to enhance your own thinking of Krishna and service of Krishna. I hope you follow me to see how deep that this is, so that we can go and get a better handle on being able to open our consciousness for genuine, a deeper Krishna consciousness. You know, as materialists are making different kinds of resolutions this time of the year, it's also time for us to look. You know, we're older now. Another year has gone by. And now, what has brought us into these material bodies, what has brought us into this material world, and how do we get out? Now, I just read, if we got into this place due to enviousness, and that is one of the major enemies of the mind, that from that connection with all other enviousness, we're going to talk a little bit about the Torah and the Gita in a little while to show how this is the root of enviousness that causes all massive type of problems for everyone. So this number three is something we should also wear around our neck, like we wear the Shashakam prayers around the neck. It's a way that is close to the heart to help us to take inventory of what's going on in our lives. I mean, look and see, how many devotees do we associate with and know who we do not feel happy when we think about them, when we associate with them? There are so many good things that every devotee has that's enough to think good about that person's presence while they are working on themselves. But where we do not feel some happiness when we see devotees, but these other things has a lot to do. And we don't, and it doesn't mean that it just means you feel happy when you see the devotees who are in your yatra or with your guru or in your Vaishnava branch or whatever. It means that if the person is a Vaishnava, that there is supposed to be a certain happiness. You don't have to agree, you don't have to associate, you don't have to campaign for them or whatever, but there should be an internal appreciation and especially happiness so that this doesn't, manifest the apparat that takes away from our own intricate value as spiritualists. When enviousness, or when we're envious and we're comparing, is taken away from our own intricate spiritual value and interferes with what we can be able to experience now. We're just going to read one or two more things, and then we're going to do a bhajan. So, Maharaj, if you can turn to Bhagavad Gita 16:8, and just you read the Sanskrit and just the translation. These next two verses, before we have a little bhajan, is going to particularly give emphasis to how the maha enviousness is that of the demon. The one way of understanding demonic tendency, one way of understanding the greatest negative materialist or atheist, and demon is a heavy word, but it's analyzing those who are so far, far away from the mercy of Krishna, or who are so angry and so doubtful about what Krishna does, and so much want to have Krishna's power, and so much want to compare themselves with Krishna. So Krishna himself is explaining, Prabhupada is giving a purport about how and what are the effects of someone who is really maha envious, what kind of things that's associated with them. We read the 16th.
Okay. Asatyam apratishtam te jagadahuranishwaram aparaspara sambhutam simanyat kamahoitukam. They say that this world is unreal, with no foundation, no God in control. They say it is produced of sex desire and has no cause other than love.
Okay. So, Prabhupada explains further in his report, and we're just going to summarize. The demons are bewildered by the false ego, these enemies of the mind. The demons are envious of God, Krishna, and Scripture. Now, why do we think demons are envious of the Scripture? Why should they be bothered about the Scripture? What do we do? Yes, you got it? Yes, the shastra is like sword. It cuts, it reveals, it exposes. And we know the scripture is like a literary incarnation of Krishna also. And so these are certain specific attributes where there is maha enviousness. Now, if we look and see what is the most advanced state of cancer, since we have some lower state of cancer, we realize what we must do to avoid this serious state of what it can produce and what it looks like. So part of helping us to become more whole is being more aware of what something is at its greatest level of disturbance and confusion and devastation. So the Maha envious demons, these are some of the points, that they're envious of Krishna, they're envious of scripture, they commit violence on themselves and on others. All of these are explained in the purport. Commit violence also on themselves by what they do, how it comes back to them. And sometimes, because they're so angry and can sabotage, that they can make it a lose-lose. Sometimes someone is so envious of another that just all they want to do is just stop, hurt, interfere with the other person. Even if they hurt, interfere, bewilder themselves, they don't care. As long as they do something to those or that person who they're envious of. So this is what demons do. They don't care about getting hurt. They don't care about being slowed down. They don't care about something that happened to them. They are fixed on trying to hurt or destroy or interfere with someone else. This is Maha enviousness. Envious of the wealth and strength. You know, Krishna has Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam, opulences. And they compare. Enviousness causes demons to put forth false arguments and to sabotage others. So these are five, six basic points Prabhupada explained in Bhagavad Gita 16:18. Let's go to the next verse. Bhagavad Gita
16:19.
We just did now 16:8 or 16:18.
We just did 16:8.
Okay, do now 16:19. Actually, should have been 18. Why don't you just read just the verse for 16:18, and just the verse for 16:19.
Okay.
Ahankaram. Listen close. This is how Maha enviousness. Good.
Ahankaram balam jarpam kamam krodham cha samsita mamatma param deheshu radishvanto vyasuyaka. Bewildered by false ego, strength, pride, lust, and anger, the demons become envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in their own bodies and in the bodies of others, and blaspheme against the real religion.
Okay, so all those points are there. How the demons, envious of the Lord who's really a part of them, or who they're part of, envious of themselves, blaspheme against scriptures, they're violent to others, to themselves, they sabotage, they create propaganda, false arguments. Now let's go on.
Tanaham dvishata kuran sama samsare.
Now here you're going to find what Krishna does to the Maha envious. He does something very, you know, very special, very particular.
Shepami ajasram ashubham asurishve vayonishu. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are lowest among men, I perpetually cast into the ocean of material existence and into various demoniac species of life.
So that means those who are Maha envious, they constantly get thrown into different incarnations, different births, where they continue. They carry this on and on, so it can build up and build up in such ways that sometimes Krishna has to personally come, you know, and destroy such persons himself. That he purposely checks such persons who are more envious like that, and he gives, sends them special type of environment, special types of births, again and again. He casts them. Now let's go to 1867. To do the same thing. Just, you know, just read just in Sanskrit and in the translation. And the body's going to do the first bhajan. We have two bhajans. They can get ready in 2 minutes.
Idam te natapak shaya nabhat nabhaktaya kadachanam nachashu shushave vat vachyam na chamam yo vayushyati. This confidential knowledge may never be explained to those who are not austere or devoted or engaged in devotional service, nor to one who is envious of me.
This confidential knowledge may never, meaning that one will never be, this is, you read earlier, one cannot understand the Bhagavad Gita with its enviousness, confidential, most essential, most deeper, profound aspect of spirituality, never be fully understood, cannot even be fully explained to such envious person. Arjuna was Anasuya, but he was not envious. Because he was not envious, he was Bhakto Samay Sakateti, dear friend, he was able to be a receiver. It's the converse of that, that when we are envious, we do not accept Krishna as friend, then it cuts away from our ability to receive. Now, this last one, 1871. Here's Krishna himself explaining why I've sent entities from the spiritual world who resided with me, how I marked them, and what their predicament is. Such persons cannot understand confidential knowledge. Such persons cannot understand Bhagavatam. Such persons I cast into certain kinds of bodies, certain environments, again and again. These persons have maha enviousness. They are violent to others, violent to themselves. They sabotage. That they are against scripture, envious of scripture, while they're envious of Krishna himself. Okay, here's the last one. 1871.
Shadhavan anushuyasham shinuyad apiyonaram sopi mukta subhalokan rapnuyat punya karmanam. And one who listens with faith and without envy becomes free from sinful reaction and attains to the auspicious planet where the pious dwell.
Read that one more time. Listen close to Krishna speaking. Krishna's letting us know why he sent us away, what we can do to come back, what our mindset has to be. You're looking at a new year, looking at hopefully refreshed consciousness, you're looking at how to deal with this foundation, that from that, some of the other problems have come forth into existence. Krishna says, okay, this is what Krishna's saying.
And one who listens with faith and without envy becomes free from sinful reactions and attains the auspicious planets where the pious dwell.
So with lack of enviousness, it affects our hearing. And of course, that means our realization. So as we're hearing now, with the bhajan, who's going to do the bhajan? Who's first? Okay.
Yashomati Nandana Brajopari Nagara Gokula Ranjana Kana Gopi Paranadana Madana Manohara Gopi Paranadana Madana Manohara Kaliana Manavira Avipina Purandara Navina Nagara Bhara Vamsi Vanana Suvasa O Braja Jana Palana Sura Kula Nasana Braja Jana Palana Sura Kula Nasana Nanda Gora Nara Koa Sanohara rasa rasika kripa moya Vadamuna tatchara gopi vasanohara rasa rasika kripa moya Vakati vinorakaya
Lord Krishna is the beloved son of Mother Yashoda, the transcendental lover in the land of Vraj, the delight of Gokula, Tana, a nickname of Krishna, the wealth of the lives of the gopis. He steals the mind of even Cupid and punishes the Kaliya serpent. These pure holy names of Lord Hari are full of sweet nectarian pastimes. Krishna is the lord of the 12 forests of Vraj. He is ever youthful and is the best of lovers. He is always playing on a flute and he is an excellent dresser. Krishna is the protector of the inhabitants of Vraj, the destroyer of the various demoniac dynasties, the keeper and tender of Nanda Maharaj's cows, the giver of pleasure to the cows, land and spiritual senses, the husband of the goddess of fortune, the butter thief and the beautiful cowherd boy of Nanda Maharaj. Krishna wanders along the banks of the river Yamuna. He stole the garments of the young damsels of Vraj who were bathing there. He delights in the mellows of the Rasa dance. He is very merciful, the lover and beloved of Srimati Radharani, the great dancer of Vrindavan, and the shelter and only refuge of Thakur Bhaktivinoda. Have you got any requests?
Kripa bindu diya koro idase jina pekati hina. Kripa bindu diya koro Sakale samana korite shakati deonata yata jata guru re sakale samana korite shakati deonata yata jata kabito kaibo Oh, कभी जाना कृतार्था हो बिनाता Shakti Purina Ami Ati Dina Toro More Abma Sata Shakti Purina Ami Ati Dina Te Abma Sata Guru Dev Yogata Vichare किचु नहीं पाए तुम्हारा करुणा सारा गुरुदेव का विचार किचु नहीं पाए तुम्हारा करुणा सारा करुणा नाले कन्या कंदी Pranada ki bohara Karuna na hale Jaya Guru Deva Jaya Guru Deva Guru Deva Jaya Guru Deva Jai Gurudev, 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 Jai Gurudev. Jai Srila Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada. Jaya Vaishnav Thakur, Jaya Vaishnav Thakur, Jaya Vaishnav Thakur, Jaya Vaishnav Thakur.
What's being said here? We just heard wonderful things about Krishna, his
activity,
and here we're making prayers now for Supreme Master. Please.
Gurudev, give to the servant just one drop of mercy. I am lower than a blade of grass. Give me all help. Give me strength. Let me be as you are without desires or aspirations. I offer you all respects, for thus I may have the energy to know you correctly. Then, by chanting the holy name, in great ecstasy all my offenses will cease. When will such mercy fall to this one who is weak and devoid of intelligence? Allow me to be with you. If you examine me, you will find no qualities. Your mercy is all that I am made of. If you are not merciful unto me, I can only weep, and I will not be able to maintain my life.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
I'm going to read a few more things and discuss it about enviousness, and then we'll do another bhajan in a short time. Just try to aggregate each of the things that's being mentioned, as well as engage our mind and intelligence in service by absorption in the bhajan. Now, we're going to look a little closer at the definition of enviousness and some of the things that produces this. What is called egalitarianism sometimes also produces enviousness. That's when people feel that they should have the same that somebody else is having. And in some cases, we see that it just doesn't work, because we are all different and we're being evaluated differently by Krishna. And according to the Varna Ashram we're in, there are also certain types of differences. Enviousness is not just a feeling, but it's an emotion. What do you think we mean by that? Enviousness is not just a feeling, but it's an emotion. What comes to your mind that may help us to understand that? It's not only a feeling, but it's an emotion. What is the difference between a feeling and an emotion, perhaps? Anyone? Is that Maharaj? You can make it.
Maybe that a feeling is just one isolated little thing that flits through the mind, whereas emotion is a whole complex set of attitudes and patterns of behavior.
Exactly. The emotion is dealing with patterns of behavior that has to do with thinking, speaking, and our actions. So it's more a possession, a certain level of consciousness. It then produces a particular kind of activity. Now, what's Jagannath? Jagannath? You can flip to a clean page. We'll just hold off a minute before we use them, before I call on you. Just do the clean page in a minute, but I want to mention two or three things first. Now, enviousness involves an envier or a subject, a rival. That means, you know, it's a relationship that's gone wild, or it's in disarray. It involves a person who's now having a subject and you're envious toward. It may be a person, it may be persons, it may be an aggregate of things, it may be a trait or a quality, but it's ourselves in contrast to some subject, etc. Now, this has been something that's pondered philosophers also, and I'll just mention two. This is how you see how much it's a consideration about the whole expression of life and how it's been a ponderance for thinkers, not just only ourselves as Vaishnavas. Aristotle says, envious is pain at the good fortune of others. Envious is pain at the good fortune of others. Kant says, envious is a propensity to view the well-being of others with distress, even though it does not distract from one's own. All of these are, you know, anti-Vaishnava qualities. When we envy, we compare that of others, not appreciating or accepting our own intrinsic worth or our own well-being. These are my own words. We envy someone, we compare with that person or persons, not appreciating or accepting our own intrinsic worth or well-being. And we wish to deserve what someone else has, someone else's fortune. Total opposite of Vaishnava quality. Vaishnava is supposed to be servant of the servant, wish the other person well, be happy about somebody else's achievement, feel some distress about somebody else's sadness. We can see. Now, what I want to look at now is, what is the difference between, put it up there, Jagannath, envious versus jealousy? They're actually different, but they're very similar, and they cross each other. But envious versus jealousy. And the mic. Now, what's the difference between that and being jealous of someone?
It's
yes.
When we want something, And we don't want the other person to have it.
That's something. Okay.
And
that's envious. Okay, that's now what envious. Is jealousy? The difference between the, envy and jealousy.
If you just want something that someone else has, or you just admire, or you'd like to have something that someone else has.
Interesting. Can somebody help him out? Okay, Nandu? Then Maharaj will give us some words of wisdom on that one.
I would say the jealousy is when you're jealous. You want something that somebody else has, but you don't exactly want to take it away from them. You're happy if you receive what they have. I mean, the enviousness, you pretty much just want to take it from them.
Okay, that's...
When they don't have.
Yes, okay. And the envious, you want it, you don't want them to have it. Jealousy, you may not necessarily want to take it away. That's interesting to ponder. A little help, Maharaj, or something else?
Yeah, basically that's what I see it as. That enviousness means that there's two people vying for the same thing, and the envious person wants that thing, and he definitely wants the person not to have it. Whereas with jealousy, all it is the jealous person wants to have that thing. He doesn't care whether the other person has it or doesn't have it.
Okay. This is good. I'll explain another point also. Enviousness is more prominent involving two agents or two aspects, and jealousy is three. In a situation of envy, we have ourselves and the rival. Okay? Two parties. Whatever the rival is. And as you said, in enviousness, you want to take away, you want to do away, you want to have that, you know, which the rival has. What happens to the rival is very important to you because you're so much locked in to whatever's going on with that individual. You think the person is too beautiful, or you want their beauty, etc. Envious. Now, jealousy is more likely to involve three aspects. The subject, okay, the rival, and the beloved. What made the difference is in enviousness, the focus, or we say better, the locus of concern in enviousness is actually the rival. You see the rival. Where in jealousy, the locus of concern is number three, the beloved. Does that make any sense? In enviousness, what's really going on is focusing on the rival. In jealousy, what's really going on is what's happening with the beloved. You're more concerned now with what the beloved is doing or not doing. And so it's a matter of some shelter, love, or whatever. You feel that it's going to the rival and not to yourself. The subject is the shelter or the love or the association. The rival is in the middle, etc. Where in the case of enviousness, you want to take it away, want that. Everything is about the rival. But now in the case of jealousy, that rival can even disappear and someone else can be there. Rival disappears, you don't care about it, doesn't have any value for you anymore. What number three, what beloved is giving or not giving, you see, for you. So there's a focus more on the three come parts, but more focus on the beloved. And the rival is kind of there, but mainly in terms of what's going on with the beloved in terms of jealousy. But now let's look at another interesting thing. There's a difference between enviousness and resentment. All these are close. Kind of expresses a different kind of madness, but the same thing has a difference. Anyone? Mm-hmm. Envy? That's a little harder. Envy and resentment. Any logical guess on that one? Anybody help us on that? A little ambiguous. These are things that moral philosophers have to deal with, but they've got to look at what's real, what's proper, what's this or that. And vice versa, obviously, have to understand what is proper, because we understand the nature of the human condition and where we are to ultimately go, where we come from. Resentment usually involves a moral issue or an injustice. At least one is feeling that some injustice has been done, or some lack of justice being established. So one has more of a kind of like a moral complaint, I think. It's very similar. Very fine shade of difference. But now the big difference, and let's put this in different categories. What's the difference between benign or good envy and insidious or bad envy? Benign versus insidious. benign versus invidious. I-N-V-I-D-I-O-U-S. We said there's three levels. There's benign, there's good envy, there's transcendental envy, and what we're talking about today is mainly, you know, bad. Invidious is bad envy, where there is want to take away, emanate, to destroy, all of those bad attributes that we, you know, made that list of. But there's such a thing as benign envy. Good envy. Anyone? Can we get my wife to help us? She'll save us. But what can be good? What can be good about envy? You know, somebody about that person who you have envy toward, it wasn't necessarily bad. There may be some small cases. Most cases, bad. Maybe some small instances where it's really not a harmful envy, you know, to your devotional life, to devotional people.
Instead of trying to take something away from the person who is the object of envy, maybe trying to be more in our lives so that we can enjoy that object as they are.
Yes, but that's
without taking it away from them.
Okay, but let's look at that. That's interesting. You really want to enjoy it. In other words, you could have a win-win where you want to enjoy it and they want to enjoy it. But that's still bordering on negativity. But where's the sign that can be really, really good? That it can just be good all the way around? Is that an idea?
Envious.
In this way, we can say it, but not.
Actually, one thing that I've always thought, or have thought of a bunch of times, is that envy and enviousness is just one stroke different from admiration. But one is a very positive thing, and the other is a very negative thing. So the difference really seems between envious and admiration is that one actually doesn't have any ill will toward the other person, and so they're doing nicely. Maybe can do that too, or something approaching that in that category. But with enviousness, you want to destroy or limit or remove that good quality or good situation.
Yes, so here, you can have enviousness that's void of wanting to take away, wanting to lose, that person to lose, you know, whatever they have. And it's a matter, you know, of a matter of admiring. And it's not going into a negative situation where you are minimizing or wanting something bad, you know, to come toward that particular person. There's even a perfume now that's called envy. A lot of terrorists, and you can imagine. The idea is, again, you know, commodification. Here, this commodity will make you smell nice, will give you wonderful activities in your life, and everybody will envy you for this. So some people like to buy it. The idea is, yes, they want to be envious of me because I will smell so wonderful. And I'll have diamonds. I'll have wealth. And I'll have wonderful people around me who will like what I do, what I say, etc. So much we're being programmed in this way. Okay, now, speaking about this, I want to read a little conversion idea from the Bible, actually. We know the famous prayer of Psalms 23rd Psalms. So I did this little exercise here as a way of expressing enviousness and greed of what modern day mindset would probably be, and reflecting on this rather awesome prayer, which is, you know, the Lord my shepherd, I shall not want, that prayer in the Bible. So here would be perhaps an expression based on enviousness, based on greed, based on how one who's been fully internalizing unhealthy advertisement that says greed is important, you know, than actual need. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall always want. He leadeth me to the expensive, high-class malls. He giveth me energy for shopping. From the Eck of Beer. He restores my checkbook and credit card. He teaches me to shop for quality and bargain. He leadeth me Kmart for my own sake. Yea, though I walk by Target, I shall not go in, for thou art with me. Thy fashionable computers and houses, they comfort me. Thou wearest tailored suits and diamond jewelry in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my face the most expensive cosmetics. My cup of champagne overflows. Surely expensive cars shall follow me to the end of my days, and I will drive around making others envious forever. Amen. So this could be a modern day prayer that how people's minds are actually thinking. Now, I want to run through this short thing because our time is running out. I want to look at the Torah from our devotees, a Jewish background, as well as some Christian background. And in the Torah, we have something interesting. That, or the essence of the Torah is summarized within the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments were given to Moses in two particular tablets. First five and one. Second, you know, five. Within the other. And the Torah, the first five, is mainly a relationship to man's connection with God. And the second half, primarily, is in connection with man's connection with other men. So we have the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments basically summarizes the essence of the Old New Testament, which is the Torah. Now, of these ten, first five are basically in relationship to how to relate to Christian, to God. The second half is in relationship to humankind. Now, the very last one, well, let me just share the second. Okay, number one, thou shalt have no other God before me. This is the first. Two, not to make graven images. Three, to take God's name in vain. Four, to remember the Sabbath. Five, a little bit ambiguous, honor mother and father. That's kind of, you can go in both categories. Now, here's what we're going to look at a little closer. 2 minutes. The last five of the Torah, and the very last one, because Jewish scholars explain that, some of them, that the very last tenet of the Torah, which is the essence of the ten, which is the essence of the whole Torah. Understand? Ten Commandments, which is the essence of the Old Testament, essence of the Torah. The very last tenet, which deals with humankind's relationship to each other, is the foundation that connects all of the others.
Now, it isn't what the last five are, and especially the last ten, the number ten. Okay, first, thou shalt not kill. These are all proper activities between humankind. Seven, thou shalt not commit adultery. Eight, thou shalt not steal. Nine, thou shalt not bear false witness against neighbor. Now, listen to number ten. And notice how it goes so much along with what Marla said earlier, how our original fault is due to enviousness, how we cannot understand Bhagavatam by enviousness, how one who's freed of enviousness can be able to return back to the spiritual world, how this matsarya is one of the main enemies of the mind that all other enemies are, you know, also connected with, how our existence in the material world is really all about trying to convert enviousness or transfer this enviousness and lust into love. How we think about Krishna, we're more likely prone to have some enviousness, and that enviousness is manifested in all these many relationships that we have. Now, here's number 10. Thou shalt not covet neighbor's house, wife, maid servant, ox, ass, or property of a neighbor. One should not covet. So what is you know, coveting? It's enviousness. One should not be envious of a neighbor's wife, neighbor's servant, neighbor's ox, or of course in those days, calf, whatever. That this enviousness, because by enviousness, then you do what? By enviousness, then you can kill your neighbor. Enviousness, you can commit adultery. You're envious of somebody else's wife, girlfriend, some other woman. Adultery. By enviousness, you do what? You steal somebody else's property. By enviousness, you bear false witness against neighbor. You lie. Huh? By enviousness, you want so many things, or you identify so much based on what somebody else has, someone else has, someone else is doing, someone is about, etc. So this is permeating throughout these religious scriptures, is that one should realize how dangerous the enviousness is. Now I'm going to give a little story, you know, as we, you know, begin to wrap some things up. And I want you just to walk your mind with me, you know, through this, as we look a little closer at just how enviousness has to do with comparing with someone else, how there can be benign as well as invidious enviousness. In this example, I want to give the benign aspect as well as the invidious aspect. Now, let's take a hypothetical example. We have a guru coolie, a child who has been brought up in the movement, born in the movement, has become now a young adult. Just imagine this example. Now this young Guru Kuli comes to a Guru Kula reunion. Alright? Now before the Guru Kuli came to this Guru Kula reunion, she was feeling rather good about herself, her life, her family, her job, her spirituality, etc. She was feeling rather happy, secure about life. Now she goes to the Gurukula reunion. Now here's an example, first of benign envy. Because after she leaves the reunion, she goes back home and she's miserable. And she stays miserable for years. All right? Guru Kuli feels good about herself, has a pretty decent life, and now comes to a Guru Kula reunion. So now, the benign envy is that she's thinking previously that she was quite spiritual. She comes to the Guru Kula reunion, she sees some of her colleagues, friends who she hasn't seen in 10, 14, 15 years, and she notices her best friend, who she went to school with, is so much more spiritual than what the level that she's at. So now this is enviousness, but in a benign way, and that she was also being spiritual, but accepting somewhat some things in the mediocrity. But you see, this other Gurukula student who was one of her best friends, who now is so much more absorbed, you know, as a sadhika. And so she's looking kind of an honest, going through similar things, similar experiences, and we haven't seen each other in a long time. And now I see this girl is like so Krishna conscious. So this is a case of benign. Now, the other invidious envy, that she sees some other Gurukulis, and although she has a nice job, her husband has a job, she has a little small house, she goes to a Gurukula reunion, and she meets some of her Gurukula friends who now have become very wealthy. And they get three cars instead of two cars like she has. And one or two of her good friends are living in $500,000 homes or $1 million homes. And so now she has invidious envy, and she is thinking, oh, this girl, how did she wind up getting such a good husband? She's taking such good care of her. She got her this. She doesn't deserve it. You know, she doesn't have this kind of karma that just came upon her. This is some freak situation. I'm sure I'll be able to, you know, I'll match her in a couple of years. You know, I'm going to go visit her. I'm sure that she's probably, you know, doing something illegal to get this, you know, anything. But the point is that here is, you know, invidious envy in such a way. But now, just look at what happened. Now, both cases, she goes back home, and now for years, she's miserable. And in one way, the benign envy hopefully has inspired her to try to rise, you know, to raise her standards. But the other envy may have caused her to feel, well, if I wasn't so much involved in trying to be spiritual and trying to maintain some kind of sadhana to some extent, I probably also could have had more money and had this and that, and I probably would not have even married this guy who's a little spiritual, but he can't really make money. You know? In other words, just from comparing and not understanding and appreciating her own intricate value and not appreciating what she has, her whole life has gone into disarray in trying to identify with someone else. What it happens in many unusual ways on a day-to-day basis, that what we compare ourselves with, sometimes it's healthy and sometimes it's not. It's not healthy for someone to be constantly torturing themselves because the model projected is a girl who's almost, you know, 5'11" and who looks like she's having anorexia, and the person looks and thinks, I have to become that small. Not a person is torturing themselves every day thinking that this is a sign, you know, of success, and they're carrying such low self-esteem, etc., you know, based on that, and missing the chance to serve the best they can, be the best that they can, etc. So this is, you know, a case of envy, you know, that's unhealthy. Now, what I want to do as a last investigation is we want to look, I need Jagannath again, at what to do to be less envious. I don't have time. If I was going to a couple of days course, I would go into so many examples in the Shastra of cases of enviousness of all these categories, mostly invidious envy. I mean, there's just to mention the name, so you can maybe think about it later. There's classical case of Kamsa and Krishna, Dakshin Shiva, Ramachandra Khan and Haridas, Hiranyakashipu and Krishna, Dhruva and Suruchi, Dhritarasa and the Pandavas, Duryodhana and the Pandavas, several cases of Srila Prabhupada with Bhakti Siddhanta, Vishwamrita and Vashishta, on and on, of invidious envy. And there are next cases of negative devotion that deals with, you know, your transcendental envy. And benign envy is like a case of Prasakananda, have an envy of Lord Chaitanya and thinking that, oh, he would make a nice Maya body. So sometimes we see even in the scripture there's an interesting category of enviousness like that also. It's not necessarily evil or wicked, in that regard. Now we want to look at what to do to be less envious. Here we're looking at this tremendous issue or disease that infiltrates our consciousness, that has caused us to be in the material world lifetime after lifetime. We saw the enviousness brings sabotage, it brings violence, it brings apparat to others, and others are envious of us, brings apparat to us. And it just means another birth in the material world. So, you know, if you look at the year coming, we want to do everything we can to guarantee our spiritual success so that we won't be an outcast by not having the proper mentality to be able to reside in the spiritual world. So what are some of the things that we can do in our own lives to be less envious? We start out by asking you to think of a person, file it away, who you have enviousness towards. And some of us may have had a long list. Some of us may have thought we weren't so envious. Then we looked at the quality of what's Vaishnava Parada. And in many cases we can see that, hey, something is not quite right in the way that we interact, you know, with most people. We don't really honor people's existence, you know, sufficiently. We don't feel sufficiently happy and enlivened when we are associating with, you know, different devotees. And there's certain devotees that we definitely have been holding a grudge towards. There's certain devotees that when they're in our association, we just feel uncomfortable, and we would like them to lose whatever that they're having that's causing us not to feel more superior, or not to feel more in control, or not to feel more appreciated. So, what can we do, you know, to be less envious? Let's share some ideas. Okay. Put number one, be conservative. This is a major way. Someone you have a distinct problem with, enviousness, then try to take close notice of how you can serve them, can be there for them.
Glorify them.
Can glorify. Where you see that you're not thinking and responding to the person in the proper way, then you can transform that into now looking to see where you can glorify the person. Sometimes you just need to honestly address the motion, to honestly accept it within yourself, and if you're able to, even to speak to the person. Because sometimes this kind of demon, once it's exposed, it's less of a problem. So, you know, I've really been struggling in our relationship, and I've just come to a deeper appreciation that I'm really envious of you. I'm trying to understand why we argue so much, or why I feel so uncomfortable in your association. I'm trying to understand a little more why I don't value, you know, the things that you bring to community. And I just really see that I might be envious.
Recognize that we may be comparing apples to oranges.
Yes, recognizing that the comparison itself, you know, it may not even be relevant. As we were saying, how the Gurukula girl, she goes to the Gurukula reunion, and our whole life is so disturbed because now she's comparing some of the other things with herself to some of the other people, and it may not even be necessary, it may not be relevant. That the variables may be totally different, that she's, you know, she's trying to compare, it's causing a problem. Other ways? Yes.
Related, it's easier to be envious in a superficial relationship when you don't know the person very well. Usually when you deepen the relationship, then
Okay, so strengthen communication or association. Sometimes if we're envious because we don't really take the time to understand the other person deep enough, and so we don't allow ourselves to appreciate what they do bring, what they do offer that's good, and we connect with what is disturbing, that becomes overwhelming to us, begins to penetrate of affection into the whole relationship. One or two more? Explain that to us. Okay. Let's just be self-satisfying.
Simplicity,
self-satisfying. I mean, just put this in our own life. Just look at how much distress we go through. Well, consider some of our major problems and realize how many of those problems perhaps have to do with comparing yourself to some other situation or some other person, or wanting something, having greed for something is not necessary, you know, for you to have. It may not be necessarily the best thing for you. One last thing, yes. Being completely humble. Being humble. Okay, being humble. Yes. Being patient, realizing that Krishna has a plan. Okay? Let's just keep that list in mind. Oh, one more. Being more enthusiastic in your own engagement. This is a very powerful list. And, you know, we're not just doing this as just a mental exercise, but try to look at some of these things and apply it to our situation, to that person or persons who came up in your mind when we mentioned about enviousness. Because that enviousness is affecting your spiritual progress, it's affecting your relationship, and it's affecting the community. Now, let's do the last part. Just flip over. Let's make a last list of what we can do to minimize people being envious of us. We also have a responsibility to try to do things in such a way that people will not be overly disturbed with ourselves. What are some of the things we can do that can minimize enviousness that comes into the community by doing some things that causes people to have less reason to be envious of us?
Well, one thing I can think of right after that is to glorify others, because it sets that mood and shows that we appreciate others, so they tend to appreciate that, because things tend to be reciprocal.
Yes. When you show appreciation for someone who's envious of you, you just begin to dismantle whatever unhealthy mindset, you know, that they're projecting on you.
Value others within yourself. Sometimes you can, you know, be really outwardly about glorifying others, but if you just live within yourself.
To value others? Outwardly or inwardly, or both? Mm-hmm. Both. Okay. So inwardly, if you really mean it, if you really, you know, value what somebody else is doing, and you explain or you show it, the person will be affected. Even if they remain envious, it won't be to the same extent. You know, it's hard to really have great anxiety with somebody who's showing that they appreciate you. It makes it a lot harder. And when they don't appreciate you, it definitely adds to whatever you're having is negative towards them. It fuses it like anything.
Yes.
humility.
Okay. There are a lot of people who are great successes in life who other people do not seem to resent if they're humble. And
okay, to be humble. Okay.
Use what you have to serve others.
Okay. Use what we have to serve others.
Be careful with certain kinds of competition with people who you think may have a problem. Some kinds of competitional spirit may be good with people who have a good relationship with you, but certain kinds of competitional spirit are definitely detrimental with other people who have a problem.
Okay. Be careful with competitional spirit. You see, the Special Olympics sometimes have really, really amazing events, where you have people who are handicapped, who are in races. And so one time there was a very famous race where there was a group of handicapped people who, were racing for, for the goal. So then one of the persons fell over and, started crying. And so then the other four or five handicapped who were racing with that person, they all just turned around, went back, and picked the person in the wheelchair, helped the person who had fallen, and then they all just went across, the line together, and then they raised their hand, they all won, and the people in the stands just went wild, because here they were not just racing just to win, they were people who were handicapped. And were going to be on the handicap. And when they saw another handicapped colleague who had fallen over and was in such distress, that was important to them is to rise above the handicap and to show what they could do. And so their focus was not just on being the winner, but winning over the obstacle. And the head obstacle was one of their own who had fallen like this. So they went back and they came across and they all put their hands up. And the people in the stands just clapped for like almost 10 minutes. Because here was a real sign that there are times when it's not just a matter of just being outstanding, but it's also what you do and how it affects on the environment. Just like, I was evaluating this year for myself before I came over, and I had sort of a dichotomy of reflection. At first I was thinking, this is one of the best years I've ever had in Krishna consciousness, in terms of the amount of travel I did, the amount of workshops and classes, the amount of media, the amount of disciples I made, my disciples I was able to be there for, the amount of books that we were able to get out and we'll be able to, come out next year because of, what we've done this year. And I was just thinking that it was amazing. Then I was looking at the other side and thinking, well, the health is still not so good. But then I was thinking, but this year I caused more anxiety to some other colleagues of mine than I ever had. And so I had to look at that and think, now, it's not so wonderful just to try to do what you have to do well. But it's also good to try to do what you do, and at the same time that it encourages others. So, I'm a radical and I'm a revolutionist. And so sometimes the things that I do can particularly bother those who are more into conservative. But how better if I can do what I have to do, but bring less anxiety on someone else or causes less disturbance in the environment, etc. So it was an interesting year. Before coming over, I was thinking, I have so much to be grateful for, because, here I'll be 54 and very soon, and
You know, in spite of the health challenges I'm going on, in spite of my health being the worst that it's practically ever been, you know, these last 2 years, so I did more traveling. Just finished, you know, 25 country world tours, 35 country world tours, and, you know, so many wonderful disciples, devotees, people to assist, God brothers, you know, God sisters, and it was awesome. But at the same time, I thought, but that unhealthy aspect is that in that process, and that there were some, you know, those who I associated with, who I did not encourage them perhaps sufficiently, the way that I did what I did. Now, this doesn't mean that I will change what I do, because I'm pretty secure about what I do, and I check in with Prabhupada quite often. But at the same time, I felt that as a family, how much, and as a community, how one should also act in such a way that it causes others to be less envious. Or how one should act in such a way that it causes others to feel appreciated more. Or cause others to feel more valued. How to be more genuinely humble in whatever that we do. Because if you appreciate others more and you're more humble, then it naturally will cause people to feel more inspired in whatever they're offering or whatever their duty or whatever their particular alignment and whatever they're doing in raising consciousness at the same time. So, one of the things that we can do along with our lips, the time is running out, is that we can try to get more into a mindset. First, in being less envious of others, this is along with the list that you just gave already, we can try to more actively try to watch or catch others doing something right. Similarly, we can also try to put more time in catching ourselves doing something right. You understand what I'm saying? Is that a lot of the enviousness that we have for other people is because we are too much looking and processing things in a negative way. We're too much minimizing the good qualities that they have. Doesn't matter who it is, they have some outstanding qualities. It doesn't matter who the person is, if somehow they feel sufficiently valued, then you can be able to amplify some of their good qualities that then minimizes some of the negative qualities. And so if we are more on a campaign and trying to study people to see what they do well so that we can genuinely, not artificially, but genuinely appreciate them internally and then let it manifest externally, then we will have less of this mind culture of enviousness that brings all these apparatus and disturbance, you know, to community. And if we are more appreciating our own intricate value, then we won't be so caught up in trying to compare in some cases where it's irrelevant or it's not healthy. Will not be so bombarded by so much advertisement and propaganda that presents certain kind of role models and standards, etc., about life, about every aspect of life. So we said that in a day's time, the average person in America is getting bombarded with 3,000 different bombardments of advertisement. We're having 50,000 thoughts just in one day's time. So a lot of that is being force-fed, stuff being force-fed to us. It's causing unhealthy interpersonal relationships and unhealthy moods of low self-esteem, etc., aggression, anger, frustration. And so we can also try to look closer and be more spiritual and friendly with ourselves by looking more at what we do well, and also thinking and catching ourselves doing the right thing so that we can do that more and not get distracted from lamenting to the point that we can't do what, can in fact happen that will bring greater joy and devotion to us, to our families, and to our community. Okay, we end. And I want to put you in small groups in this last exercise. Let's see. We got about 40, 30 people or so here. can do, that we can do four groups or five groups. All right, let's count. Let's count in fives. Mangala, take you start with you first. You'll be one. You're with the altar? Okay. Chintami, you'll be one. Okay. 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 Just remember what your number is. Okay. You're one. Okay. A two. Okay. Where's that five? Person in the group. All right. I'll give you an example. Yasoda is going to lead the body in this group. All right. You need a charter. You need one charter in every group. So, she has just left her body. This is temporary, of course. Now, but at the same time, she's listening in. She has the potency, the mystic shakti, siddhic power to listen in about people speaking about her as she's left her body. So, what we want, this last exercise, if you don't know the person, you're just kind of listening to others. But we want the different devotees in the group to share first what was very positive that she offered to community that impacted upon you. So you first want to just mention in your group some things that were very inspiring, good, that you feel her presence offered in her association, you know, to communities. Then after you've shared that, and a few others have shared, then we want you now to share the opposite. What things you felt was unfortunate or was distasteful about her presence to communities. Now it can mean what you wish she could have done, should have done, or what she did, but this is the negative side. That it didn't happen, or it was something that was displeasing. So, and now, all the person's going to do, whoever we're marking as having left their body, they're just going to listen, and then we're going to have a short sharing. Now, in this particular group, Ekavir has left his body. This is the president of Gita Nagari has just left. Okay? All right? Okay? I want to help you out here. I need a charter? Get a charter? Okay? Let's see. I hope some of you know each other. Okay? In this group here, Chintamani has left. All right? Hopefully you know her. If not, we'll bring... If we have any group that nobody knows the person, we'll have to bring someone else over there. Let's see. We may have to alter a few groups. Let's see. In this group, Mother Johnny. Okay? Now, you guys get too many. I want you to go over there to Chintamani's group. Okay? Now, I have a group here? Okay. She's already chosen? Who is that? Who's that? Anna Suya? All right. She's ready to leave very fast. Okay, so Anna Suya has left in this group. All right? Any group that anybody, every group has somebody who's left? All right. Okay, so you start first, on your own, you just speak about something good that this person has offered. Now, we're doing this for two reasons. As we said, so many things we worry about that often is unnecessary. So many times we compare ourselves to situations that's not healthy. So many times we minimize what we do offer that's intricately good. So many times we have enviousness of others, and it confuses the relationships. Anyway, all of that creates community. What we have, what we don't have. And many times we don't appreciate someone until it's too late. Let them know how we appreciate them.
And many times we don't let people know honestly how much they give us a pain. We don't help them to change where they should be able to change. And we don't help to glorify them, to reinforce them, or to appreciate them when the opportunity is there. So here we have the second chance, huh, for these people who just left their bodies. All right, so they're going to hear something that's going to be honestly spoken to them. And you honestly share what you feel that they've offered that's good to community, that's impacted upon you. And you also honestly share what you feel they need to work on, what they need to change, what they've done that's bothered you. Give it to them. All right, go for it. I just want them to share very briefly any reflections or realizations that they had from that experience. Okay? I want you just to briefly share what your reflections or realizations are. Okay? You want to share? Okay. Okay. So, Soto will go first. Mother, why don't you get Mother Johnny because then she can sit on after she speaks. Okay, then. On all those who have risen from the... Look at the eyes. Look, they've really risen from us. They come out of a mystic slumber. Okay, Mother Johnny will go first. Everyone, listen with attention. We're doing this whole exercise looking at why we've come into this material world. Our main issue is enviousness that's connected with so many other things that are, you know, in disarray. We looked at what happens when somebody's envious of us and we're envious of them. We realize that really, if we appreciate others more, if we're more humble, if we are valuing them more, that we will be able to encourage them better and we'll be less distracting to someone else. We want to do what we do well, but at the same time, we want to be appreciated by others. We want to constantly be able to honor feedback, good feedback as well as so-called negative, because negative feedback often can help us to look and address things that we need to work on even more, you know, than positive feedback. Positive feedback is very important to remind us of what we're about, to let us know how others are receiving what, you know, what we're doing. So now we let them, as an end result of this little exchange, looking at relationship, looking at new consciousness, looking at lifetimes of being in the material world and somehow not getting it, and how much we can get things better if we check in with each other more and share more. Now, here the beautiful thing is they have a second chance, is that they just heard some things in the spirit that they have left the body, some of the things that would be said even more direct if they had gone. But in this case, they had a chance to hear this, to have a better understanding, at least in that little circle they were in, of what they meant to some of those people, good and bad. So let's just hear from those who have come back. What are some of their reflections? Brother Johnny, you go first.
I say behind that, hearing what I heard on the good side, I felt I was ready to go because I felt I wanted to hear on the other side, but I didn't know if I was strong enough. But each one I heard speaking, I kept saying, I can't wait to hear on the other side because I do know that I need to hear what I need to work on, because knowing that I am close to death, 77, you know you're closer than at 26, although you can go at 10. But I really was anxiously, if you will, waiting to hear the opposite. What do I need to work on? Because you don't see yourself. Everyone was so sweet and appreciative. One thing I thought I heard somebody say, at one time they felt I complained a lot about my body breaking down. But then they said that they saw me grow through that. And I think in each instant I heard what they did see, somehow I have moved past that, which is good news, because again, I don't feel I have that much more time to work on. I've been told I give the sauce. I've also been told many things. So I feel that most of the devotees that have been with me a while have already told me what my problem is. But this was a good experience. Right now I'm trembling and just praying that I can fulfill and be that person that each one describes so nicely. I still have a lot of work to do, but I thank you all very much.
Vaishnava Gorgi.
It's interesting. I was thinking, okay, here we go, another year, 2004. How is this going to be different from 2003, 2002, 2001? So Krishna's really given us an opportunity through Gurudev to make it different. One of the things that struck me listening, not so much to the positive things even though, but more to the negative things, was you don't really appreciate how much of an influence or how much you affect other people that come into your circle. Even if you think it's only like a passing thing or a momentary thing or even so slight you can't even remember what you did with the devotee or how you first met or whatever, and yet every time we come into someone's circle or, you know, touch another person, have some contact, association, interaction with another person, there's an exchange there. And so seeing how even slight things can leave a negative impression or a positive impression on someone and how that can help them or hinder them in their life. So I was really thinking back on all the people that have inspired me in my spiritual life, or people that I think about that helped me or infused me or were there for me when I needed somebody to be there for, and to think that I can be that for other people if I put aside my enviness, put aside my selfishness, put aside my tendency to not want to deal with people or to be so-called slowed down by people, that I can be that inspiration for other people just as people have been there for me in my life. And that's really what being a servant is, to be able to have somebody say, you know, I was helped in my spiritual life by this person, and Krishna said that, you know, that such a person is so dear to him. And so I see Krishna making this arrangement for us to be able to go into the year and the new year and clear out some of the stuff that we've been carrying around for so long. We hear that all the time. Devotees are always carrying stuff around. But now we have an opportunity to really do something about putting that stuff down, getting rid of it. And so I'm very thankful and grateful for this opportunity to, now while I'm still living and breathing, and when I have to come back in a ghost or even, to actually deal with some of these things and really be there for others in a more genuine way. Thank you.
Hi, Bob. This exercise is very powerful. And for me, I guess one of the things that stood out for me was the mercy and the soft-heartedness of the Vaishnavas. And I think maybe about half of my group, you know, had known me. And there was a lot of emphasis on, like, trying to emphasize the positive and not to really say anything that was, you know, so negative. But it was nice because, you know, yeah, the devotees are kind of waiting for the negative because you know it's a negative that can kind of help you grow and what you don't want to hear, so you kind of want to hear it. And so even though, you know, each devotee maybe just said a couple sentences, it was nice because it, you know, brought forth things that I'm resisting, that I know that I need to do more of. One is extend myself more to devotees and make myself more physically available at the temple and just be more of a presence. And kind of like Mother Yashoda was saying, like Vaishnavas, When Vaishnavas make an appeal, you can't ignore it. And association, you know, naturally helps us in our spiritual lives, but we all help each other, as Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was saying, and we all impact the community. So it was kind of another wake-up call for me to kind of get out of my little Chintamani world and be more of a servant. And the other thing that was nice about it is as you serve with devotees in different capacities, you see the subtleties of your relationships with the devotees. And one devotee who I did a really like intense service with for a couple years was raising some nice questions about things he didn't understand about me. And it was kind of neat because now that I really am alive, we can like talk about it. So, and he also said, you know, nice kind of subtleties that helped me to see things in our relationship I may not have that he's seen in a who I may not have done the active service with, just, you know, just to see the niceness of their hearts and devotees who didn't know me who made like an offering. So anyway, it just struck me about Vaishnavas, and when I'm around Vaishnavas, I get entrapped by love, so sometimes I try to stay away. So Krishna keeps me entrapped. So I just want to thank you for the exercise. Thank you.
Vaishnava Goji.
Hare Bol Prabhu. A couple of days ago, I was reading on the Bidhi Swami list from an email from Purusha Shukta asking devotees to share what they want to see different in their lives in the year coming. And I really want to sit down and do it, but I just couldn't find time, so I said, well, I'll do it after this whole. So, It was a very powerful experience, very interesting. I actually saw how devotees are concerned, so worried about me than I am worried about myself, which really touched my heart a lot, because I realized how, you know, how I'm so blinded about my own self and my own well-being, and devotees are like really watching me. It's pretty scary because I feel like I have, you know, 10 eyes behind me watching every move I, you know, step at. I'm like, okay, Krishna, I'm doomed for life. But it was really, really sweet. And I was waiting for the bad parts, although it's going to be intense, because I said, no, stop the good part, let's get to the bad part, let's just get done with it, finish it, just, you know, hit it, and then go home. And it came, and I was surprised that I could handle it. I'm surprised. And
you
I'm
were
glad.
There, of course you could handle it.
I'm surprised that I could handle it. I guess that's why I came live, Gurudev. And it's interesting because whatever the devotee shared that were negative were ones that I was thinking about a few days ago. So to me, it was definitely a confirmation that's what I'm going to work on. And I want to thank all the devotees that actually point out the bad parts, which is still in my head, not the good parts, thank God. but it was really powerful, really powerful. And I want to thank everybody. Hare
Krishna.
Hare Bol, devotees. As the other devotees before me have shared, this exercise was extremely powerful. And like Chintamani was saying, that the devotees are really kind and soft-hearted. And in my group, they were really, really kind. And of course, first speaking about the good qualities, and I guess it took them about a minute and a half to move on. So they moved on to the bad qualities. As a matter of fact, when Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj mentioned you should move on to the bad qualities in 2 minutes, we had already been in the bad qualities for 10 minutes. And then another fear came up just by coming into the group and seeing Raja Leela cross the other side. But she too was kind-hearted and didn't unload the list of bad qualities that I know she could have actually indicated. But in the session, it helps to realize, I guess it helped me to realize, how we can be inspirations as Mother Yashoda expressed in the devotees' lives. And then we also can be the type of example that discourages someone in their spiritual life also. And so by knowing those things that we do need to work on, we can become better servants of the devotees. And so I want to thank the devotees in my group and also Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj for exposing these types of exercises for us. I know he expressed this, this was one of the exercises he used to do when he was on the book distribution party and actually speaking to devotees to give them feedback. And it's a wonderful way to actually learn how we can develop deeper relationships with the devotees in our association and also gain a greater appreciation for those devotees in our association. And so I want to thank you all for allowing me to be in your association.
Vaishnava Kaur Ki. So it looks like we're just pretty much on time. It's about 3 minutes to 11. 11 o'clock we will do the... We can do simultaneous the puja. But is, we have slips of papers that people can write on? If so, Mother Chintamani is going to pass out some papers and pencils. Brahma Maharaj, are you there? Oh. Okay.
We will improve in our character, or ways that we will address maybe some envious situation that may be going on in our lives. We'll beg Srila Prabhupada's mercy, Srila Prabhupada's blessings to address that situation. It can be a short prayer or a long prayer. The paper isn't so big, actually. And then Advaita Acharya Prabhu, Advaita. So he has to wake the deities in the morning, so he must have gone a little earlier. But Advaita was so kind. He found these water. What does this look like to everybody?
The garden.
Okay. A wonderful Pro-Asian. He said that this can be the water pot to water Haribol Purchipu, that of devotion that we're begging Srila Prabhupada for. This is what these pots are for, or this water pot. And so what we'll do is we'll have the ladies on one side, the men on the other side. Just fold up your little prayer and put it in one of these.
I think it's how you hold it. Yes, so you're just going to write a short, it's between you and Srila Prabhupada, just write a short little a message or prayer addressing a particular way of how you're going to improve in your character. We just had this discussion. How we can try to focus better and trying to be a better member of the community. Or we can try to deal with harnessing our mind in a more positive and productive way. Less envious of Krishna, less envious of others. And so, according to how you feel impacted upon, you just write something between you and Srila Prabhupada that you are offering the way how you're going to improve your own devotional life. So you offer a little prayer or a little plea to message to Srila Prabhupada on how a way that you, as you enter to this new year, an area that you're going to give more attention to in your own life for your own spiritual growth and advancement. And then you put it in the little water pot there as a way that we are watering our devotional creepers.
When you come up to offer your prayer, we would also like you to take one of these candles. And if you can offer a candle, there'll be a match here to light it, a lighter, and offer a candle to Srila Prabhupada. Just put it in one of these bins right here. While we're doing that, it's a three-way process, we will have this wonderful divine couple, Sandeep and his wife Amrita. They will both be leading us in bhajans and prayers while we are offering our written prayer. So Prabhus, we need you over there at the harmonium. This is a husband and wife team, very wonderful couple that's visiting us from Potomac.
There's matches there for lighting the candles. Or have a candle you already lit. And try to write in 4 or 5 minutes, because we're gonna turn down the lights in a little while.
Because Brahma Muhurta will be here to do our final yajna before we have the midnight arti.
Sandeep, for your bhajan, will you need the light to see the book, or are you okay? You will? Okay.
Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan. Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan. Kalini Yamuna Jaya Jaya Maha. Shigata Bhansi Bata Dvadashakana Yastabalila Kailashinandana
Prabhu Nityananda is our data for our heart. Rivasadi go Bhaktavinda. Hey Krishna, hey Dhananya. Nanda is our Paraha Jiva Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Prabhu Nityananda Jaya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Nitai Gauranga Jai Nitai Gauranga Jai Sachinandana
Daita Chinandana. Haribo, 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 Haribo. Haribo, 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 Haribo. Jayo Jayo Guru Dev, Guru Dev, Guru Dev, Guru Dev. Guru Dev, 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 Haribo, 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 Haribo. Oh, Nitago, Haribo. Haribo, 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, 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 Rama, Hare, Rama, 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 Hare, 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 Hare. Hare, Hare, Krishna, Hare, Krishna, 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 Hare, 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 Rama, Hare, Rama, Rama. Hare, Hare, Krishna, Krishna, Hare, 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 Rama, Hare, Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare, 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 Rama, Hare, Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Everybody clap, clap, clap. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Everybody, beg for mercy, beg for mercy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Push, push Maya away. Push Maya away. Push Maya away. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Push Maya, Maya. Get away. Get back, Maya. Get back, Maya. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Wave goodbye to the old year. Wave goodbye to the old year. Ramo. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo. Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare. Bring in the new year. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Wave in the new year. Wave in the new year. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mercy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Push the false ego away, put the false ego away. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Ego, ego. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, oh Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We have to run to catch Krishna now. To run to catch Krishna. Run after the Lord. We have to have spiritual greed. Only spiritual greed is the real solution. All that stuff I talked about today, useless. It needs spiritual greed. Alright? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namaste, Narasimhaya. Palaro Das Danahe. Hiranyo Kasi Pubataha. Dila Tamka. Kanahe Kanahe
Namaste, Nada Sring Haya. Pala Roda Dana Heya. Hiranyo Kasi Kobaka. Dilatam Kana. Tava kamala bhe na kam babuta swina dalito hiranya kati ko kana brina kesabito na hari rupa. Jaja Godi Sahare, Jaja Godi Sahare, Jaja Godi Sahare. Kava kamala bhena kam abhuta sinna darita hiranya gati po tanabena dechavadito nahare ropa jai jago di sahare jai jago di sahare. Jai Jagadish Hare. Jagannatha Swami na Yanapata Kami na Yanopata Kami Baba Tume Jagannatha Swami na Yanapata Kami na Yanopata Kami Baba Tume. So we end the night by circulating the Lord and Srila Prabhupada. Everybody else. Move those at the camera. Jagannatha Swami Nayano Patta Gami Nayano Patta Gami Baba Tume. Jagannatha Swami na Yanapata Gami Nayano Patagami Baba Tume. Jai Jagannath, Jai Jagannath. Jai Baladeva, Jai Subhadra. Like this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo. Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare. Hands up, hands up. Anand, Anand, hands up, hands up. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Right left, right left. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Everybody, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, keep going around. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama.